Hello, and welcome to the Celebration Church Podcast. We are a faith-filled, family-focused church located in Lakeville, Minnesota. In a moment, you will hear a sermon from one of our pastors. We hope that you enjoy and grow closer to God through these messages. And now, for a message from our lead pastor, Derek Ross.
Come on, let's give it up for Pastor Josh and Pastor Josiah. I wasn't sure how the video was going to end. I was out of the office this week, and then it became pretty clear when that question came up. So it's great to be with you here today. My name is Derek, and I'm the lead pastor here at Celebration, and it's a joy to bring the word on Scoreboard Sunday. Come on, this is a great day to be in the house of the Lord. And we're celebrating that. If this is your first Scoreboard Sunday, you're in for a treat. We welcome you here today. You could come back after the second service. We're going to have a pizza party. You could stay for the second service. Whatever it is, we're going to be baptizing people. I think we have 6 in this service and then almost 50 in the second service. So people being baptized, not people in attendance, you know. So I'm like, that service is small. No. People being baptized in water. I think they all wanted to stay for the pizza party. So they're like, second service it is. Anyway, it's going to be great. Come on. I grew up playing sports. I know that may be hard for some of you to imagine, but I did. And there was always this thing that was important during the game. It was called the scoreboard. It lets you know if you were winning or losing. Now, I get it. There's some other very important things that you can learn. You know, life lessons, how to be on a team and work well with others and listen to your coach. I get that, but it was the scoreboard that told you if you were winning or losing. And some of you are like, my kid's not winning or losing. They're just having fun. That means they're losing. That's what that means. I just want you to know I'm interpreting that for you. Now, I get it. Some parents, some coaches became too fixated on the scoreboard. They didn't develop kids all around. They were only playing a few of them. I get all that. I understand that there's been abusive environments created in the name of winning, and the same has actually been true within churches as well. Some pastors have focused too much, right, on numbers or attendance or offerings, and the environment became unhealthy. But the scoreboard is still the scoreboard. And we still need to know from time to time that we are winning. So we give God thanks, and that's what today is all about. We're taking a glimpse. We're listening to testimonies. Weren't those phenomenal, what God is doing in people's lives? And we celebrate those water baptisms, and as we see that the kingdom of God is advancing. This is more than attendance or offerings. This is where people's lives are being changed. The kingdom of God is moving forward. On these days, we're not celebrating what we have done. We're not patting the pastor on the back for a great idea. We're not shaking Pastor Josiah's hand with a attaboy, thanks for writing verse 30, right? We're giving God thanks for what he has done. And that's why it's okay, even if you're shy, quiet, and timid, to get a little bit excited and give God praise. Amen. Amen. Some of you are thinking, you're like, I'm still not so sure about that, Pastor Darren. 2 people were like, yeah, no, I don't know. Okay, well, one more thing. Come on, we're not celebrating. I wrote this in my notes. We're not celebrating like our favorite golfer just made a shot with a quiet golf clap. You could insert, we're not celebrating like an upper Midwest Norwegian Lutheran. Just, that was cool. That kid's life has changed forever. Come on, when we hear this kind of stuff, we're celebrating like Justin Jefferson just signed a new contract to stay with the Vikings. He hasn't, but we're believing he will. This is a faith church, so we're just speaking it in Jesus' name. We're believing that we're going to draft the right quarterback later this month, and all of our problems will be solved, and we're going to win the Super Bowl. Come on, we're a faith church. We can believe that in Jesus' name. Come on. I don't know if God cares about the Vikings winning, but we do, so we're going to believe. Come on, but how many people know we're not wondering, we're not hoping that our team's going to win. We know our God is worthy of our highest praise because he's been so good to us. Amen? So even as we hear these testimonies, whether it was a student or an adult or a number of adults, some of you are wondering if they're still a student, they're just young adults, amen. Maybe we should emphasize that, right? Like, I'm not in high school anymore. I'm a grown up. I got a mortgage. I pay my own bills, whatever. But it helps me. Like, that's the oldest teenager. No, come on. Whatever it is, when you hear what they say God has done in their life, it ought to remind you of what your life was like before Jesus Christ as well. Come on, you weren't always this good looking, neat and tidy, sitting in church, minding your business, on fire for Jesus. There was a time in your life and mine with, if not for the grace of God, we were destined to spend eternity apart from him. We were on our way, on the road, the Bible said, that leads to death. But thanks be to God who, rich in mercy, gave his son Jesus, who gave his life for us. And now we're not depressed. Come on, we're not greedy. We're not alone because God has come and he has changed our lives. That's better news than 11 of you admitted, but that's okay. Let me just read the word. Some of you are so concerned because you're looking at the note sheet. You're like, there's no points. I'm going to preach just as long. It doesn't matter, friends. 3 points, 5 points, 7 points, no points. I was out of the office when they were printing this week, so that's why there's no points. I still got plenty to say. All right, here we go. 1 Chronicles chapter 13. If you have a Bible, would you turn there? And if you're able, would you stand? Let's read the word together. I got to get going. I got plenty to say, and then we're going to get into these baptisms. And I'll probably have a little bit more time to preach in this service, although I'm not totally sure with how many were baptized in the second service. So we'll just tell them, watch first service. You get the extra message, but you're here. You can stay for both. We'll see if it's the same. 1 Chronicles. You know what? In my Bible, I turn to 2 Chronicles. That's not going to work. I'll get there. 1 Chronicles 13. There we go. Look at that. You didn't even know what was happening. You did because I said it in the microphone. 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verses 1 to 4. The Bible reads like this. David conferred with each of his officers, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds. He said to the whole assembly of Israel, if it seems good to you and if it's the will of the Lord our God, let us send word far and wide to the rest of our people throughout the territories of Israel and also to the priests and Levites who are with them in their towns and pasture lands to come and join us. Let us bring the ark of our God back to us. For we did not inquire of it during the reign of Saul. The whole assembly agreed to do this because it seemed right to all the people. I've titled this morning's message, Bring the Ark Back. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we've been given to gather and lift high the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. We give you thanks for what you've done in our lives and those lives that we're going to celebrate with in a few minutes who are being baptized in water, going public, saying, Jesus has changed my life. We give you thanks today. Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear what you're saying. Help nobody leave the same, but everybody more like you, Lord Jesus, on fire for the things of God. We ask it in that name. And everybody said, amen, amen. You may be seated. I love that last verse that said the whole assembly agreed to do this because it seemed right to all the people. There's something so powerful about a spirit of unity in the body of Christ. It's one of the things that we see. It was a prerequisite for the gift of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And whenever the people of God get together in unity, great things can happen. Even if we look back in the book of Genesis at the Tower of Babel, the Bible says that everybody got together. They were one people speaking the same language. They were off to do one thing. And even though it wasn't a God thing, the Bible says nothing was going to be impossible for them. There's something incredibly powerful. Incredibly, I switched that in the middle of what I was saying. Incredibly powerful about a spirit of unity. And I'm praying that that's true for us today. You've already seen on your notes, there's no points printed, but still plenty to say. I'm more of a preaching teacher. I like to have points on the page. It helps aid me in my focus, knowing where I'm at, hitting some checkpoints throughout. And I think it also helps in your understanding. But today, I really just have one point, and so I made it the title. That I believe it's time to bring the ark back. Just like we see there in 1 Chronicles 13, we must bring the ark back. Now, I'm thankful for social media. If you follow my wife and I, you got to see we went and spent some time in South Dakota this week, drove over to Wyoming, and we survived a blizzard on April Fool's. It was not a fun joke, but we made it back, and so we had a good time. I've seen on some of your social media feed, how many people have been to the Ark Encounter down in Kentucky? A few of you. The rest of you have been. You just don't want to raise your hand. I appreciate your support. Thanks for helping the past. I'm working way harder than you're helping me out today. That's all right, but if you're like, what kind of ark are you talking about, Pastor Derek? Are we bringing Noah's ark back? No, we're not. Right? It's the Ark of the Covenant, one of those very famous things, the Ark of God. I did some study this week and I found a new name for it. Actually, it was a couple weeks ago. I went and told Pastor Vicente. It was this ark that God gave instructions in Exodus chapter 25. Let me just teach you a little bit because there's not any printed points and I'm not going to say any either. I'm just going to talk till I'm done and then we're going to baptize people and have a party. Exodus chapter 25, verses 10 to 22. The Bible reads like this. Have them make an ark of acacia wood. 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide, 1.5 cubits high. Overlay it with pure gold, both inside and out, and make a gold molding around it. Cast 4 gold rings for it and fasten them to its 4 feet with 2 rings on one side, 2 rings on the other. Then make poles of acacia wood, overlay them with gold. Insert the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry it. The poles are to remain on the rings of this ark. They're not to be removed. Then put in the ark the tablets of the covenant law, which I will give to you, right? The Ten Commandments. That's why many people refer to this as the Ark of the Covenant. It says there, put those in that. Verse 17, make an atonement cover of pure gold. Have you noticed so far that the things of God are covered in gold? God is always worthy, deserving of our best. This is why we don't just give him a golf clap about the things he's done in our life. Because we're not going to be more excited about the Vikings draft picks than we are about what God has done in changing our lives. Some of you are like, well, I am, Pastor, because I don't say anything at church. I'm working on you all year long. Come on, somebody. Make an atonement cover of pure gold, says it all again, and make 2 cherubim, angels, out of hammered gold at the ends of the cover. Make 1 cherubim on one end, the second on the other. Make them 1 piece with the cover on 2 ends. The cherub. Okay, he gave a lot of instructions, and basically it was like a chest, 4 foot by 2 foot by 2 foot, roughly, that they would carry around, and in it would be housed the presence of God. The ark was designed, in fact, to be a symbol of the presence of God in the midst of his people. It was his presence that would be contained in this box, and it would travel with the people. In fact, as the children of Israel wandered through the wilderness for 40 years, they left Egypt before they got to the promised land. They carried with them the ark of the covenant, and there in verse 22, as it closed, there above the cover on the 2 cherubim, above the ark of the covenant law. That's why most people growing up, myself included, have known of this as the Ark of the Covenant. But as I was studying a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago or so, I stumbled upon another description that many people have used. And I ran into Pastor Vicente's office and he didn't get excited right away as he should have. Maybe he's an upper Midwest Norwegian Lutheran. I thought he was from Columbia and a Catholic, but apparently all are the same. And so I ran into his office because I discovered, thinking about Scoreboard Sunday is our theme for the year, a Duth testimony, God do it again with the same power and authority. I discovered that many scholars have determined that others really called it not the Ark of God, not the Ark of the Covenant, but the Ark of the Testimony. So I'm like, why would they call it the Ark of the Testimony? Because God told them to put a few things in the ark to remind themselves of what he had already done for them. Therefore, by virtue of looking at it, by virtue of thinking or hearing of the testimony of what God did before, he wanted his people to be reminded that he can and will do it again with the same power and authority. You didn't get any more excited the second time, Pastor Vicente, than you did on the first. Come on, help the pastor out. We're believing for that, right? That's our theme, our belief, our prayer this year. God, do it Again, with the same power and authority. When it comes to healing, not just God did it once, not just God did it for a person, not just I heard of stories in early days in America, but God, today, would you do it again with the same power and authority? Deliverance, God, do it again. Provision, restoration, salvation. God, do it again with the same power and authority. So if this was the arc of the testimony, it begs the question, what are they believing God would do again with the same power and authority? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me just tell you, there are three important items that they placed inside the ark, and it was testimonies of what God had done for the children of Israel. The first we read there in that passage was the Ten Commandments. They placed the law there in that place in the ark. And the second, we would read later, will be a jar of manna as a sign of remembrance when the Lord provided bread for them in the wilderness as they wandered. Then in number 17, we read of the miracle of Aaron's budding rod confirming his divine priesthood, and his rod was also placed in the front of the ark. It seems to me that the commandments were obviously about God's law and their need for a savior. Every time they would look and see those 10 commandments, they would be reminded that God gave a standard, and without his help, they wouldn't be able to live up to it, and it would remind them to look forward to the coming Messiah. The second thing in there, the manna, showed them God's provision and his care for his people in need. And whenever they looked at it, they would remember that although their generation before, although they'd wandered in the wilderness, God provided every day everything that they needed. And when they see that, they'd be reminded in their time of need, God will come through again. Also, then that rod, Aaron's rod that blossomed, it symbolized God's leadership through his priests for the people along their journey. This is what I'm so excited to share with you this morning, because a lot happened, though, between Exodus 25, the instructions for the construction of the ark, and 1 Chronicles 13. But remember, those three items, I think that are so important, they carried them around, they would look back at them. The commandments were all about God's teachings. Dare I say we've moved on as a people in our nation from God's teachings? Not that we should have, but we just feel like we don't need it anymore, and we need them again today with the same power and authority. That manna was all about his provision. Right now, we're living in a time where people continually look to their neighbor or their government to provide what they need. I believe it's time for the people of God to be reminded that our source is not our job, our source is not our government, our source is none other than the hand of God. That rod that blossomed showed his leadership. I think we need anointed leaders once again. Since then, our society, the one we're living in, you and I here today, our society has detoured. Our churches have drifted, and we are in need of that same miracle working power. We need God to do it again with the same power and authority. So my prayer today, my heart cry for all of us is that which we read in 1 Chronicles 13, that the whole assembly, known as Celebration Church, would be in agreement on this in Jesus' name. If I have time, I'm going to come back and teach on those three things a little bit, but let me just spend a little bit of time explaining some of these things. God gave the instructions to build the ark, talking about bring the ark back today. They wandered through the wilderness for 40 years. Everywhere they went, just some historical context for you, everywhere they went, they carried the ark with them. They would have people carry it, and whenever they would move to a new place and they would settle in, they would begin to set up their own tents to live in, but they would set the ark of the covenant, the ark of the testimony, the ark of God. They would set it in its own tent, the tabernacle. They would then worship. That's where God would meet with his people, and it was an important part of their lives, and I believe it used to be an important part of many of our lives, that when the Israelites, who were led by Joshua toward the promised land, when they arrived at the banks of the River Jordan, the ark was what was carried in the lead, preceding the people. The presence of God went before the people, and it was their signal to advance. When they were crossing the river, it began to dry up as soon as the priests who were carrying the ark touched the waters, and so it remained, and the people were able to walk through. They left a memorial stone of remembrance that was taken from the Jordan at the place where the priests stood at the Battle of Jericho. This is the importance of the ark. It was carried around the city once a day for 6 days, preceded by the priests blowing the trumpets. They marched around 7 times. The walls of Jericho came down. The ark was there. The presence of God was there when the people experienced the power of God. Then something happened. Their lives had been experiencing the deliverance of God from Egypt. They were no longer slaves. They were no longer in bondage. They were carrying the ark of God. They were carrying the ark of the covenant. They were carrying the ark of the testimony around. They were enjoying the benefits of the manifest presence of God. And then in 1 Samuel chapter 4, we read that the Philistines captured the ark. The enemy of the people of God took the ark, and the Bible gives this description, and I quote, it says, "The glory has departed." That same description can and should be uttered whenever we remove the things of God from our lives and in our land. That when the glory departs, we should expect bad things to happen. Remember when the government removed corporate prayer from our schools? Is there any reason to be surprised then at the things that we've seen taking place at an ever-increasing pace in our public school systems today? When the glory departs, bad things always happen. I could go on and list ways in which the glory has departed our nation, but for the sake of time, let me just move on and go back to the people of God here in the Bible. 7 months passed, and the Philistines have had the ark of God, the ark of the covenant, the ark of the testimony. They've had the ark for 7 months, and many times in those 7 months, bad things happen to them because the enemy of God cannot flourish in the presence of God. And they were like, "What are we gonna do?" And they got together and they said, "Let's give it back." They thought it was a spoil of war, and what happened is the presence of God was defeating their idols, their enemies. I might do a mini series on the Ark of God, the presence of God, and what would happen. And Dagon fell down, they came. Bad things happened, and they were like, "Let's give it back." Which is better than let's hold on to it. They should have said, "Let's fall down ourselves. Let's revere the presence of God." But at least they said, "Let's give it back." So the Bible says they gave it back in 1 Samuel 6. But then it was kept at Kiriath Jearim for 20 years. We read that in 1 Samuel 7. There's a lot of history that I'm laying the groundwork to lead us to this point. The Bible says for 20 years, the enemy no longer had the ark, no longer had captured the presence of God, but for 20 years it was in Israel's possession, but they lived far from it. Wondering the parallels for our lives and in our nation today. Yes, we have freedom of worship and religion, and yet how many believers are living far from the presence of God? Saul becomes king because the nation of Israel is like, "We don't want to just have a God. We want to be like other nations. We want a king." And so God gave him a king. But the Bible says for 20 years, they learned to live without the ark. The people became accustomed to going through their lives without consulting God. What a tragic and yet transparent description of our nation today. As I read through our nation's history, it seems we used to hunger and thirst for the things of God. We used to show up early and stay late in extra prayer for services. We used to heal the sick and cast out demons in our everyday lives. But somewhere along the line, the glory departed, and we became accustomed to living without the glory of God by getting by without the presence of God in our lives. So the story continues. Saul then takes his own life in 1 Chronicles 10. David becomes king in 1 Chronicles 11. Fighting men assemble into an army in 1 Chronicles 12. And then our theme verse text, the longest introduction to a no-point sermon ever. I know what time it is. I'll wrap it up by the time second service starts. 1 Chronicles 13. The Bible says, let us bring the ark of our God back to us, for we did not inquire of it during the reign of Saul. Another translation says they neglected the ark in the time of Saul. They neglected the presence of God. They operated without his help. Boy, I'm sure it's not anybody in the 9 o'clock service today, but there are many people in our city and in our nation that are living their lives without consulting God, without requesting the help that comes from heaven. They went on throughout their life without receiving help in the presence of God. So that's the cry of my heart this morning. The prayer of my life today is quite simply, let's bring the ark back. Let's bring the presence of the Lord back in our lives. Let's bring prayer back. Let's bring worship back. Let's bring awe and wonder back. 1 Chronicles 13, I already read it to you. Let me remind you, then I'll give you just a few moments of teaching on the idols. He said to the whole assembly of Israel, if it seems good to you and if it's the will of God, it's important that we merge those two. Just because you can get other people to vote in agreement with you, if it's apart from the will of God, it doesn't make it right. Just makes it popular. He said, if it seems good to you and if it's the will of God, let us send word far and wide for the rest of our people throughout the territories of Israel. Let us bring the ark of our God back. That's the clarion call I feel in my spirit here today, to send out word far and wide to all of God's people, those who call celebration home, those who watch online and send me messages at other times. It's time within the body of Christ for the people of God to bring the ark back, to once again consult the presence of God, to be reminded that it's in him that we move and breathe and have our being. For the sake of our kids and grandkids and future generations not yet born, we must bring the ark back. All right, the three things, and then I close. It's not even gonna be a fancy close, I'm just gonna stop. And then we're gonna play a video, and then we're gonna baptize people, and we're gonna thank God. The three things that were in the ark, the Ten Commandments, we can read about in Exodus chapter 20. You can write that down, read it at your own time. God's teachings. I've noticed in the need to bring these things back that as a people in our nation, it seems as though we've increased in knowledge, but we've decreased in wisdom. We have access to more facts than ever, but we are applying less wisdom than ever before. Seems like the more we know, the less we actually understand. As I mentioned last week, nonsense is now being pitched as common sense. My dad's told me for my entire life, son, common sense isn't very common anymore. And he said that a few decades before the time we're living in now. I believe this even holds true in churches today. Tragically, pastors have begun apologizing for the word of God. They've begun omitting parts of scripture that are uncomfortable and unpopular. But friends, it is the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. And the problem is, how do you believe? Right? Through faith. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when we shortcut, when we eliminate, when we When we act like we rip out pages of the Bible, the ones we don't agree with, we skip over. Metaphorically rip out. That was the word I was looking for. Hypothetically, I don't know what it is. I'm on cold medicine today. I really am. I'm not feeling the best, but I'm here in Jesus' name. Come on. It presents problems for people. When the gospel preached from pulpits in our land is reduced to how to be healthy and wealthy, it's no wonder we find ourselves in a place where feelings rule the day and facts are discarded to the wayside. We need to bring the ark back. We need to bring the truth of God's word back, bring back sound doctrine and biblically literate believers who will not be swayed in the day of trial by silver-tongued politicians and feel-good preachers. And by the way, I remind you, every time the people of God returned to the word of God, when they returned to those Ten Commandments, when they returned to those things, blessing always returned to their lives. Whenever they realized their error of their ways, they repented and they returned to the word, blessings came back. So quite simply, if you want the favor of God in your life today, if you want the blessing of God to return to our land today, we need to bring the ark back. All right, the second thing that was in there, and they were gonna come out on the third thing, but they came out on the first one because they're like, Pastor, we're out of time, but I don't care because you don't either. Exodus 16, miraculous manna. It was God's provision. The Israelites were wandering in the wilderness and they were there without the necessary provisions for the journey they were on. They'd been set free from bondage in Egypt, but they were still in need of sustenance to keep going. They had no road trip snacks. It's a terrible thing. No one should go on a road trip without snacks. And the Israelites didn't have it. And then one morning out of nowhere, well, it wasn't out of nowhere, it was out of the hand of God, came manna. God provided for his children. And they didn't know what it was. So manna quite literally means, what is it? Because the people didn't know, but what they knew is that it sustained them. And God gave them what they needed each and every day. Could there be any correlation? I don't have time to unpack this morning, but could there be any correlation, any reference to this when Jesus was teaching us how to pray and he said, give us this day our daily bread. Ark of testimony. Be reminded that what God did before, he will do again. Let me just remind you, friend, today that the provision of God is always more than enough. It's enough for you and enough to bless those around you. We do not serve a God. You'll never find it in Scripture that we do not serve a God that is a God of not enough. Which is, by the way, what we're believing for the pizza afterwards. We got over 1,000 pieces of pizza coming, but we don't know. It just depends on how many youth go through first. Maybe we'll just let the youth go after. Praise the Lord. Amen. But God is, we need that funeral food anointing today. Come on, then it just multiplies and we don't have to pay for more. Okay, but God, he's a blesser. This is who he is, right? It's in his nature. He's a good, loving, heavenly father who loves to bless his children. And I get it. Of course, there's been abuse surrounding the topic of provision and prosperity. Of course, people can take things too far and be deceived into serving money more than God. But this morning, I want to remind you, whoever you are, that this is for you. God cares about your daily needs. And he cares about providing for you on this journey with him. So much so, he instructed the people to place a jar of manna in the ark to be reminded that what he provided before, he will provide again. Many of us here today can give testimony that we've seen God come through in our lives before financially. And therefore, we're confident that he'll come through today for you and he'll come through tomorrow for our kids and grandkids. Can I get a good amen? All right, he's on the drums. That's the sign they're like, Pastor, you're really out of time, and I still really don't care. Number 17, Aaron's rod that blossomed in the presence of God. You guys can start playing softly. Not very loudly, but very softly, because I'm not done. But I'm almost done. I'm getting there. I'm thinking about ending. Aaron's rod that blossomed represented God's leadership. Long story short, I'll just summarize, and I really will end, because we're going to show this video and baptize people. The Israelites were wandering through the wilderness and they were having a lot of problems. They were having a lot of struggles. They were having a lot of fighting. God talked to Moses and they came up with this plan, and they had one leader from every tribe of Israel. 12 of them would place their rod, their walking stick. They placed it in front of the ark of God. They placed their symbol of leadership in the presence of God. And they said, overnight, we'll see what God does and we'll come back tomorrow and see what happens. And the Bible says that they came back the next day. Again, you can read this on your own, number 17. They came back the next day and 11 of the staff, 11 of the rod, they were still just walking staffs. But there was one that blossomed in the presence of God, and it was the one that belonged to Aaron. It was from the tribe of Levi. It was representing, and the Bible says, God told him, put it in the ark to be a sign to any of the rebellious. I was so convicted this week as I was praying for our church and the churches in our nation. Could it be that we see so much rebellion in our land because people's lives are no longer blossoming in the presence of God? We see far more church people who are bitter than blossoming. Why? Because we don't have any leaders anymore that blossom in the presence of God. And so I spent time praying for our church and pastors around the country. I said, God, I want my life to blossom in your presence. Because there's nothing that will bring fighting to a standstill quicker than someone who blossoms in the presence of God. Why do we stop and we share these testimonies? Because it's important that we're reminded, friends, that God's presence still changes people's lives. This is why it's important that we celebrate with those who are going public with their faith, because God's presence still changes people's lives. But the question for all of us when we leave this place, this scoreboard Sunday, are our lives gonna be like one of those 11 where nothing happened? You know, it's possible to be an awesome church like this with incredible preaching. I want to put like on our church sign, awesome kids ministry, passionate worship, and the preacher's excited. You know, like you decide for yourself, but he gives it a full effort. You know, it's possible to come here week in and week out and take the things of God for granted. It's possible to come to prayer gathering and see what God's saying to other people and just leave, well, I guess nothing. I don't want to be one of those 11 that's just there in the presence and nothing's changed. Because our nation is full of rebellious people that are waiting for someone to be changed in the presence of God. So I know it's scoreboard Sunday, and in a minute we're going to clap and we're going to cheer, but my heart is so burdened for our nation and for our church. That we would not take the things of God, we would not be in his presence and take it lightly. Or even worse, that we would come and we would leave the same way that we came. Because I just believe that one moment in the presence of God can still do more for us than the amount of years and anything else that we could endeavor to do. We need his presence again, so I want to pray for us, and we've got a baptism video, and then we're going to celebrate with, I think, 6 in this service, and we're going to clap and we're going to cheer. But before we leave, can I just pray for you? I'm so burdened for you here this morning, our church and our nation, that it's my prayer that nobody leaves the same. Maybe you've been coming for a while, wondering, well, what'll happen? Before you leave, would you pray, God, make my life blossom in your presence? Listen, I know many who are here, I've heard story after story, maybe in our church or from another one. A lot of people are going through something they call church hurt right now, and I get it, but I'm pretty convinced after Easter last week that nobody has been hurt by the church more than Jesus. Right, the group of religious people, they were like, crucify him. I'm sure you had it bad here or somewhere else, but none of you been crucified for it. And Jesus still went through with it. So let's just make sure that our lives are still open to the presence of God. I know other places there's been abuses or seasons, and I just want to remain open to him in his presence today. Can I pray for you? Bow your head, close your eyes. Father, I pray for my friends, these dear brothers and sisters, whom you love so much. We've gathered here on Scoreboard Sunday to give you thanks and praise for what you've done in so many people's lives. But before we hear another testimony, before we give you thanks for what that, we submit our lives to you once again today. We say, God, don't let any of us leave the same way that we came in, but help each of our lives blossom and bloom in your presence. May we be a sign to every rebellious spirit in this land that there is a God who is alive and his hand is on our lives, and you can and want and will change their lives too. So I pray today for my brothers and sisters here at Celebration. I'm asking that you touch each and every one of us. I'm asking for every pulpit in our land, every Bible-believing, Jesus-exalting church in our nation, that people would bloom and blossom in your presence again as we bring the ark back, as we return to things that once were. We return to the ever-enduring things, that which has worked before, spending time with you. God, help us never again take for granted our time with you. For we know in your presence, everything changes, and we give you thanks and praise for it. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Would you watch this video together as we get ready to celebrate with many who are being baptized today?
We hope that you learned something from this message and are able to apply it to your life. If you gave your life to Jesus for the first time or the 10th time, reach out to us on Facebook or email us at info@celebrationchurch.net. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again next week.